Okay, we're recording on both the video and the tape recorder machine, and I have the first applicant on my speakerphone.
Okay, now, since I jumped the gun a little bit, this will be redundant, but Mr. Martin, do we have a call?
Yes, we do.
We do, very good. To the minutes, the regular meeting on November 16, 2020. Do we have any additions, deletions, or corrections?
Yeah, I had a small, this is Dan, I sent a small correction in Trisha earlier today, just adding the language, I can't find it. There was just a clause missing. On page 2306, this was the state or question I had. It should have been actually doesn't spell.
We haven't started with it yet, so.
On page 2306?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, it'll be just like 2 minutes.
What is your correction?
Okay, bye.
You ready for a correction?
What if what?
Okay, six lines down, the first word is no. And it should read no, if this is what's been going on so far, comma, but, and then insert. It had been suggested that they would be, that's the end of the insert, turning over 100 vehicles every week or week and a half.
Is it correct or no? If not, do I have a motion?
Motion to accept the minutes of the last meeting. Okay.
Yep. Motion's been made to the motion. Do I have a second?
I second it. This is Dan.
Motion's been made.
Sorry, Trisha asked that I indicate when I speak that I'm adding on Meredith. So if I preface a lot of what I say, this is Dan. And so Trisha can sort this out.
To the motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Motion to make a second for the discussion. If not, all those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Abstentions. Motion
abstain.
Oh, Jerry's going to abstain. He wasn't at that meeting.
Very good. Motion carries. First item I have is lawn care, I think. We have one of those.
Yes. Dave Whitbeck, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'm going to put my phone right up next to Peter so you can hear him hopefully pretty well.
Okay.
Tell us a story. What are we doing?
So, but while we're in there, we don't need backup alarm.
Well, I'm going to go through the list. The last time we talked about this was in October, according to my notes, because he was not here for the November meeting, and he asked for an extension. Move and reconfigure the access. As I understand it, the access was discussed with the highway superintendent, and I think the conclusion was if we could leave the existing driveway where it is, I think that was Paul's preference. That's what I heard from Paul in verbal discussions with him.
Can I interrupt him or not?
Sure. Okay. Sure.
I too would talk with Paul, and I understand where Paul's coming from. My concern is that I've seen triaxial dump trucks in there, dumping dirt and that kind of thing. So I would think and I would hope maybe by spring that we could put that other entrance in. I don't want to see an accident there. There's a lot of little kids, a lot of school buses, those kind of things. I see your dump and fill in the back. You know, we need to put some cell phones up there for one. And the other thing is to proceed with that entrance maybe by the spring. Because of the dump trucks that I see coming in there, you know. So that's my opinion. And the other thing, the only other thing I'd like to see in there is I don't want to be the guy to say turn off your backup horns and have somebody get hit. I would rather see some shrubbery or some sort of a noise buffer put along the outside of that along Nolan Road. That would clean it up for one and make it look nice, and then it would also be a sound buffer there because there are families there. You know, there's some elderly people in the back and there's some children and stuff that live across the street. So I think by putting some shrubbery there and buffering that noise, that would be a good benefit. So those are the two things that I'd like to see done. Besides that, the place looks very nice.
So you're saying a second entrance by in the spring?
I would think so, only because I frequent that road. I don't live too far from there. I've seen triaxial dump trucks in there dumping dirt and that kind of thing. And to me, that swing. And I've driven many trucks, and I've been around public works for 40 years. It needs to be addressed. I'm not disagreeing with Paul. I have a lot of respect for Paul, and I understand what he's saying. The place has been there for many years, but there's been many changes, so I believe that second entrance should be put in by spring.
I'm not
going to
be able to put that second entrance in by spring, and I'm going to have to rearrange everything I have in front of you guys right now to be able to make that happen. It's going to consume probably, it's going to take away from 20% of the availability in space that I need, so I'm not going to be able to put a second entrance in really at all to be able to operate. One thing I can do, one solution I can offer, is that we open up what is currently there to allow for triaxles to get in and out, open it up another 20 feet on the Nolan Road west side. We easily solve that problem right there with any type of. I mean, if I open that up 20 feet, I can fit a 53-foot long trailer in there, which I'm not even going to try to, but that means that tracks and dump trucks could be able to flow in and out of there with absolute ease.
I would go along with that as long as Paul checked it out and said it was okay with Paul. I know what exactly what he's saying is that. Is you're going to widen it out 20 feet, going to the west on Nolan Road? So then you can come there and then you can be all straight on a right hand turn.
Pretty much, yes.
Correct? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. That's a good idea. That's a nice idea.
That was like we put a lot of thought into that entrance area. It would just consume so much space, so that is most reasonable on our.
That would be fine. And again, I don't want to be the guy to say turn off your alarm systems because that's a safety issue with me, with the experience that I have with trucks and stuff. I would rather see some shrubbery put up there to buffer that noise.
Well, as far as shrubbery goes, one thing I can say is we are going to try to purchase the building. And until it's purchased, I'm going to have to work with Ty to see if he's going to swing any money to put up shrubbery because it is not cheap to put up shrubbery across, and you know, as a screening across, you know, 120 feet to border the housing back, you know.
No.
So I'm gonna need time on that.
down under the noise.
Well, right now there's snow that'll definitely help. In the summer, the wind comes back. I mean, we're going to put a fence through there. And there's nothing we can do with the winter anyways.
I hear that.
I'm just going to need time to talk with Ty about what's going on, and I'm going to deal with the bank and all that stuff and really see what's reasonable for us to do. Work together, because if the bank's ready to move forward with a purchase sooner than Ty's willing to throw money towards that property, then he's just going to tell me, no, I'm not going to pitch in if you're just buying the property in another 6 months. We just have to arrange everything, but I definitely already had a discussion about putting 20 green giant arborvitaes along the back. They grow fairly tall and fairly thick, so you want to be able to see through, definitely a noise barrier as well. And I think that solves the problem, and it also helps us too with security.
Okay. Alright. So, in the meantime, keep the noise down?
Oh, yeah, we'll just keep it down. I mean, if anybody has a complaint, they are 100% welcome to give me a call directly, and we'll address it for sure. So.
Okay.
We're going to do our best to keep things to a minimum after normal business hours, because I don't really like working outside of normal business hours anyways. And when we're there, we'll just be as respectful as humanly possible.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, no worries.
This is Dan. I have a question about the widening of that entryway. That would just take away a couple of parking spots.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about the parking spots, to be honest. We have access on the other side. Now that we moved that shelter logic back to the back corner, we have room over there for 7 more spaces if we need them. I'm not even going to be planning to put anything there for quite a while. So, I mean, worst case scenario, even though we have, I think, 12, we're going to lose 2, we still have, I believe, 12 spaces available, which is more than we need right now. And like I said, we can at least get 7 more on the other side if need be.
Jim, what would be the parking requirement for this operation?
I'm sorry, I can't.
She's asking me, David, what the parking requirement would be. Dave, what's the size of your retail floor space inside the building?
Yeah, that's about right.
So he's probably got about 400 or 500 square feet of customer area. So the parking requirement would be five spaces for every one space for every 100 square feet. So that'd be 4 to 5 spaces for the customers. The other thing that factors in, Dave, do you have any employees parking on site?
I do have employee parking on site, yes. That's the spot where we're going to lose a couple. But a couple of us that work, administratively can just park up front where there's 7 available spaces, and we can even add 1 or 2 more onto the end of that.
So how many employee spaces do you need? So, and I would say the overall parking requirement is 10 for the site.
I'd say that's a fair assessment at this point.
Okay, can we make that as part of the site plan then, that there are 10 spaces
dedicated? Yes.
When it comes time to need that, can I submit something then? I mean, we don't really need it at this point, and I don't see us needing it soon.
We're going to do the 20-foot entranceway right away, right?
Or as soon as the ground's hot enough for us to dig post holes.
And there's no frost in the ground right now, especially where the snow is.
Yeah, by the time I get a chance to do it, I think that there will be. We're a little backed up even with this storm.
if you want to allow this business to operate, and if this relocation is part of your concern, you can condition his approval on accomplishing this within a reasonable time frame, whatever the week site that is.
Okay.
And that way, we keep everybody going.
90 days, would that be fair? Can we put them into the spring?
We want to make sure that we get into the spring, so...
I think we want to be beyond the frost.
Yeah.
So,
I think May 15th is a fair date.
Okay.
You know, whatever.
I'm okay with that. Sure.
I didn't get any of that.
Well, I'm trying to keep you in the dark.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know if I'm okay with this.
Yeah, you're okay. Don't worry.
Well, no, we'll explain it. I just want to get through the list. Okay, you spoke to the privacy fence, so what I'm hearing is a combination of fence and screening. I mean vegetative screening.
Yep.
So some combination of fencing and vegetative screening for both the visual and the noise issues.
We won't even be out of winter yet.
Let's see here. The salt storage... Dave, what's going on with the storage of the material?
There's none right now. The size of the accounts that we have, I actually use 5-gallon buckets when we palletize our salt in advance and just leave it inside to keep it warm on pallets, and then we just dump it. I use a jailgate spreader because we don't really need anything bigger than that at this point. But when the time comes, we're going to use one of our bins. That we use like stone or just a concrete floor and cover over it, so that way it stays contained rather than able to seep into the ground. So hey. we'll put little forms around it. I'll come to you guys when I'm ready to do it, and I'll put permits in and all that stuff. We'll make sure it's right, but I'm not in a position right now where I need it.
Okay.
So I haven't even completely designed it. I'm just gonna use one of the bins that we would normally put the crush on it.
Okay. Okay, with the
So we're not looking as a company with snow removal to get like big accounts like commercial, like the big plazas and Lowe's and stuff like that. I don't want anything to do with that stuff. That's a rat race to the bottom as far financially, so I stay out of that. We do small commercial only and residential, which allows us to not have to use as much materials, too. So there's less chasing things down, there's less equipment needed. And really, it's all about this. We can operate with smaller equipment than some of the bigger companies. This company is really based on maintenance, you know, for again, small business and residents, and that's it. I don't want to deal with big commercial corporations and stuff like that. So we're not going to have a need for a giant salt bin in there. It's going to be a pretty small, modest bin that isn't even going to be recognizable as a salt bin by anyone.
The other issue was the weight limit on Nolan Road. I asked Paul about that. There is none.
What's that?
The weight limit on Nolan Road. There is no weight limit.
The weight limit on Nolan Road is non-existent, according to our superintendent of highways.
And then the last thing I have is hours of operation and backup beepers.
Hour of operations and what?
Backup beepers.
Backup alarm.
Well, hours of operation normally are going to be Monday through Friday. Our crews will get in there around 7 o'clock, maybe a little earlier than that, and be out on the road at 7 o'clock. Of course, we'll be quiet in the meantime if we're before 7. That's for sure. And I would say those guys are going to run until 5, and then the office will be open like 9 to 5:30. And then on Saturdays, the guys, the same thing really, it all depends on the weather. If they work on Saturdays, probably a full day, but the office will be open half a day.
And any backup alarms on any of the equipment?
There's not on them right now. You know, the bigger we get, the more, I shouldn't even say the bigger, but the more established we get, the scarier it is to have something like an OSHA violation for not having them. Mm-hmm.
Is Adam on?
Yes, Adam's on. Yes.
All right. At the end of the meeting, Mr. Rubeck had left, but Adam came up with a scenario where he has encountered or not information on different backup lines. Adam, can you elucidate on that?
Yeah, so we, at the plant that I work at, we use white noise backup alarms. So they're just, I guess, less noisy for the neighbors.
I'm not sure I got any of that. I just heard the less noisy for the neighbors part.
Yeah, they make white noise backup alarms.
It's white noise?
Yeah.
Yes, white noise. Yeah, they're pretty effective.
Yeah, for sure. I can't say I listen to them either, so.
You don't want to see me at 2 in the morning.
You do not want to see Mike in his pajamas.
God, no. I don't mean like that.
Adam, what does it sound like?
You have to ask Adam.
He's good.
Yeah, they're pretty cheap too. Only $30 really on Amazon, so I don't see why I can't.
He's already looking it up, so yeah, he's got it.
And they just want
sorry, it's like a, I'm sorry, it's like a whooshing noise.
He found it on Amazon, Adam.
They got whoosh. Unless you're right behind the vehicle, you can't really hear it from that far away. It's pretty direct, localized. You can hear it when you're right behind, but yeah, it's like air brakes.
That's awesome.
Okay, so I have 7 items, and I think that addresses everything we had outstanding from October right now.
Okay.
Peter, can I say, I just want to make sure Paul Jones is okay with that 20-foot extension that he wants to do. I think it'll work.
I think Paul will, okay. But because he, I think, Dave, did you and Paul talk about lighting the driveway when Paul was there?
What's that?
Could you ask him, Peter?
Did you have a conversation with Paul about lighting for the driveway?
Yeah, well, yes, he said that, you know, if we were going to have bigger vehicles in and out of there, that, you know, he didn't think the drive so was a big ordeal, but, you know, he did say that if we were going to have bigger vehicles in there, we would have to either put something in the back or open it up. That was really,
I think he's not
his suggestion before I even
brought
it.
Okay. All right, Peter, would you like me to recount the 7 items?
Yes, please.
Okay, I have number 1, install a silt fence in the areas where there's been fill placed. A vegetative fence or built fence for screening along Nolan Road. Any combination of the two. Widen the existing driveway to accommodate longer axle trucks. Parking with a minimum of 10 spaces shown. The spaces have to be 10 feet by 20 feet in their dimension. 5, salt storage will occur inside or within a contained bin. Hours of operation will be Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Office will be 9 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. And Saturday, 8 to 2. And then 7, install, when needed, install white noise backup alarms on the site vehicles. That's 7 items.
I already ordered them on the Just ordered 4.
Did you hear all of those, Dave? The only two items of the 7 that are going to come into a time frame, we talked about a May 15th date, would be to the extent you are going to plant vegetative screening, we'd like to see it installed by that May 15th date, and the widening of the driveway by May 15th.
May 15th, okay, yeah.
Hey, Jim?
Yes.
I think that those two will also kind of create that the establishment of the 10 parking spots probably can't be finalized until May 15th.
There's already 12 spots over there.
So what I'm going to suggest, Gary, is that a site plan, and I'll meet with Dave, he's going to have to revise the site plan a little bit and show the 10 spaces and how the driveway widening works and all that, so we have it on a site plan that can be signed.
Agreed.
Okay, good.
All right. And these notations will be on the site plan. I'll go over with them to make sure they're on the site plan before you guys come in to sign it.
Okay. Perfect.
All right, Dave, I can work these out with you in terms of the notes you have to put on the site plan and things. It's just some minor revisions to what you've already done.
Minor revisions to the site plan that you have already completed.
Right. If you come in and see me, we can go over these revisions and get them on your site plan.
Okay. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, we can do that. What do you think? The Monday or Tuesday after Christmas
week? Yes. I'm on vacation between the two holidays, but the first week of January I'll be in the normal hours.
Perfect. Because I was hoping to take that week off too.
All right. That works.
Dave, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Now look, is there anything further that you want to do 2 or 4 to establish?
Oh, and Peter, you should be announced that this is a, I believe it's a type 2 action.
Yes.
Can Dave talk face to Paul, or are you going to, with Paul on that 20, but just a...
Yes. Yep. I'll check with Paul.
Okay. Maybe a letter or something from Paul would be great. Thanks, Jim.
Yep.
Okay. Board, is there anything further? If not, you have it in your prerogative if you wish to hold a public hearing for this application. Well, here's feedback.
Should the neighbors know there?
It's up to you guys. You normally do. When I spoke with Dave, he's not, this is, we're going along here, so he's fine with it if this gets put off till January. I think I can confirm that with him, but last I knew he said he was fine with that, so. We could hold a public hearing in January if you'd like.
Your opinion?
All I can tell you is we've gotten no complaints about this use there. Other than, you know, we did get inquiries from board members about how this occurred without site plan review, but there's been nothing out of the neighborhood. But we have not notified anybody, to be honest, so. But if you want us to, we will.
I think we should be able to respond.
I'm of the opinion that it's on Route 9. We've historically done site plan there, and I mean, my opinion is that it's unlikely to garner a lot of public response, given that they haven't, to this point, commented that business is operating. We're not really preventing them from continuing what he's doing by holding the public hearing.
Is that a motion?
It wouldn't hurt to have it. If no one shows up within 5 minutes, right?
Right. No, that's correct. Your policy has been to do public hearings for projects running on Route 9.
I think we should just so we can say we did. Need a motion to hold.
One last look at a nice clean site plan too, right? You should have every.
Yeah, I'll get with Dave as I indicated in the first week in January, see if we can polish this up.
Yeah.
Do we want to set a date for the public hearing now?
I have a motion for the public hearing, if that's your desire.
I'll second.
Well, I think we need a motion. What date is the meeting next month?
Left.
Let's see.
You still there, Dave?
One, it's the 18th.
Isn't January one of the ones where you move it?
Yeah, because the Martin Luther King holiday is the 18th.
Yes. So we want to move to the 25th? If it's any earlier, it's tough for us to get the notices on. The 25th?
All right. I'm gonna make a motion to reschedule our normal planning board meeting for the month of January 2021 to be January 25th at 7 p.m. and for February 2021 to be February 22nd at 7 p.m.
I have a motion on board to change the planning board meeting dates due to federal holidays. To the motion, do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, who's that?
Who was that?
That was John.
John?
Motion's been made to reschedule the planning board meetings to January 25 and February 22, 2021, due to the occurrence of the federal holidays. I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor, aye.
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 Abstentions? Motion carries. And are we scheduling the public hearing for this applicant for January 25 at 7:01?
I will make a motion to schedule a public hearing for the lawn care company on Route 9 for a public hearing for January 25th at 7:01 p.m.
Motion's been made for the public hearing. Go to the motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
And second?
And second. Motion's been made to second. Any further discussion? All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Abstention? Motion carries. If we still have the applicant on, we will try not to pick on you too much further.
Dave, are you still there?
I am.
Okay, so you and I will speak the first week in January, and we'll work on revising your site plan. And it looks like you got one more meeting, and we should be all set.
Okay, so the next meeting is the public hearing. It's a planning board meeting.
Yes. Yep, it'll be just like this. It will still be virtual, I'm quite certain. So any public attendance is virtual as well, just like you're doing right now. So.
Understood.
All right. So put down January 25th as the meeting night.
I got you.
And be first on the agenda.
Yeah, and you'll be number one on the agenda again.
Sounds good to me.
All right. Thanks for your cooperation. I'll talk to you after the new year.
All right. Sounds good.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Next item I have on the agenda is Wayne Smith. Site plan review. We have an applicant.
Yes, we do.
Tell us a story.
Let's see. Anybody there from Bill Smith? Do you have anybody?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Bill. How are you?
Yes, I'm here. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good.
I believe that Mike Romeo will also be on.
Okay.
Let me text him and see if he got through. If he said he was listening, so.
Let me see. Let me see if I can.
He's in the text box outside.
Oh yeah, I got him. He should be able to talk now. Mike,
can you hear me now, guys?
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
Bill, we have you still, right?
Yes.
Okay, we got both applicants then.
Before we get too far into this, Mr. Martin, I believe this project has been subject to action by the Zoning Board of Appeals. Can you update us on those items?
Yes, the Zoning Board did approve this for a special use permit because it's subject to vote. And they approved it with a 100 car limit on the amount of cars stored. And I think the site plan we have gotten does reflect that. And the other condition they had on it was for the planning board to determine if anything, any kind of beautification you wanted, you know, along the corridor there. But those are the two basic conditions.
Okay.
And then we had some other comments that Bill's been responsive to. It was a indication of entry and exit point for the delivery truck delivering the automobiles, either being there used for being brought for storage or being taken from the site. So that's shown. They have a loading and unloading area. They have reduced the number of cars or spaces for storage to 100 spaces as per the zoning board condition. The driveway through the site has been widened 15 feet and appears to be adequate. They do have the zoning line now indicated for the separation between the C1 and the R1 zone. They have provided a 20-foot buffer along that zoning district boundary. And they do have an indication where some infrastructure or utility poles are. So I think that's everything we had on the list of items we wanted to have included on the site plan from the list of from the last time this was looked at was in November.
This is Suzanne. I've got a couple of questions on the delineation of the parking spots. On the parking spots to the rear, there's one that looks like a double parking lot, which would be in excess of 100. Is that meant to be something else? It's near the 15-foot wide access driveway.
Is it in the garage?
Is that a parking spot?
You know what? I have to hang on a second.
The one at the north end of the back row, man?
Yeah.
If you can give me 2 minutes, I just I'm gonna go up. Didn't realize I didn't have that paper, I have the other three. Just give me one moment, okay?
Okay.
I don't have a copy here to look at, sorry. Well, the other thing I should say is he added a series of notations for restrictions on the site. No exterior signage, no exterior lighting. Vehicle storage will be limited to automobiles and light-duty trucks. The number of vehicles to be stored on the lot is limited to 100 vehicles. The lot is to be resurfaced with a fresh layer of gravel. There shall be no salvage vehicles on the lot at any time. No retail sales of vehicles shall occur on the lot. And those are, again, consistent with the discussion we had in November.
Jim, I also noticed that there's no scale indicated on this.
Okay.
That was a
Bill Rourke, getting things from Bill Rourke, and sometimes, if I, you know, if I had this CAD drawings, I could have done that, but we didn't. Bill Rourke's the one that did the last site plan.
Yep.
But we took exactly all the measurements off his site plan, and we just put it on a CAD drawing, for, you know. But that's what was asked for me to do, by the way.
Okay.
Am I not correct with that, Jim?
No, you're correct. What we can do is we can make it towards a two-page set that we have. This is a base drawing that gives us the dimensions, and then there's a second page that's the actual site plan.
That's fine. Because
I understand what happened.
You have a copy of that.
Yes, I have both right here.
So then we will, are proposing we include the old map that we'll work it done to cover the information that we would normally include on a one single sheet?
Yes, because his is the actual stamped survey with the scale and the dimensions on it and the north arrow. And then what Bill provided was like a second page that speaks to the site plan conditions that we were discussing at the last meeting.
I can live with that.
Jim, this is Ann. I would think we still need that scale on this, the second page here.
Sure.
It's really smooth the way it's set up because there's those entrances and, you know, I
think it's three entrances in the front, and they kind of just swoop in one side and then right out the other.
Yeah.
And with the traffic light right there, it's not as unsafe as trying, you know, down by the bowling alley where there's no lights or anything.
Sorry.
That's all.
Yeah, I'm not looking to limit the hours of operation. I just want to know what you thought you would be doing so that we could document it. So, you know, what you tell me is what I'm going to take as your input. So,
sure.
That's why I'm just wondering what hours you'd like us to consider.
I would say hours of business then. So, you know, 8 to 7, if you want to just put, you know, if you want to document something.
That's fair. Just asking you what you'd like. So 8 to 7.
This is Meredith. I was wondering, what do you do with cars that don't sell, don't move?
Every car that's put in that lot is sold already.
Okay.
Yeah, that's just for overflow and transport.
Okay.
So you're not going to have vehicles in here that are ready for salvage, or you might consider hangar cleans?
No. Everything that's there is sold. So even the cars that are, really cheap junk cars, the salvage guy just comes and picks them up, and it would be treated no differently than an expensive car.
Or any further questions?
Just one last one, and it doesn't sound like it's any sort of an issue. I would just wonder, should we notate on the map that there will be no parking of the haulers or unloading on Route 9? I don't expect there to be. You've got an unloading area, but I'm just an acknowledgement that we won't be doing that.
We definitely should.
So no overnight parking here is what you're saying here?
That, or I'd hate to see somebody, you know, for any reason, parked out on the shoulder of Route 9 on low big up a hauler.
Yeah.
It's fine with me if you guys want to put that, because it doesn't happen, and if it does, it's really like on them. You know, they're the ones that would be doing something illegally, the hauler. It's not our haulers will never do that we own. But, the guys don't really do it. It's more safe for them to be on our lot, to be in and out. So I've never seen it happen once since we've been there. So you're fine enough with it if you want.
I think it just covers everybody.
Okay, board. Do you feel that you have enough information to move forward?
I'm comfortable.
Yep, me too.
Okay. Martin, are we covering all the previous items?
Yes, that covers all the outstanding items from November.
Okay.
Probably we should have a public hearing on this one too, as it's on Route 9. Maybe no one shows up and we've got a 2-minute time and we're done. But I think we should have one.
And is it better that we've already sent out the notice the first time and we didn't have any responses, just to not have to go through that again? Or?
That was a different board.
Okay.
I think we had, and I may be mistaken, but I think that we had this one as well, and there was no public, nobody fishing.
We didn't notice it yet.
I wrong that, Jim?
Yeah, no, we haven't noticed, we haven't provided notice to the public yet, though, on this. We are still working out these items.
What was it, the zoning board that you're speaking about?
Yeah, the zoning board did conduct a public hearing on this.
Yeah, nobody said anything during the zoning board. There was no public, no neighbors that, you know, had anything to say. Nobody called in.
I think it's good common practice to have it. You know, if we hold it, nobody shows up, we're good. If we don't hold it, and then we hear about it.
Yeah.
So, you know, if we could schedule one for 705, and what was the date, January?
Yep, the 25th.
25th.
Is that a motion?
I'll make that a motion, sure. This is good housekeeping.
Motion to made to hold
I second it.
For this project at 7:05 on January 25th. The motion, do I have a second?
This is Ann, I will second.
Motion been made and seconded. Any further discussion? This is really not too controversial. All those in favor, aye.
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 Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. So, we updated drawing to be ready for the 25th?
Yep. Bill, I'll give you a call, Bill.
All right, good.
And I think this will be a
thank you. Thank you, everybody. Have a good night. Have a Merry Christmas.
You too, Bill. Thank you. Mike, thank you.
You as well.
Very good.
Just so I'm clear, how does this exactly work? So we're good to go here as long as we don't have any complaints, or what? How does the next step work?
The board schedules a hearing, so we send notices out to people within 500 feet again. It will be very similar to the zoning board. And we'll see if there's any comment. As I said to the last applicant, I expect the January meeting to be a virtual meeting as well. So anybody who wants to comment has to call in. Like I said, I don't expect it's going to be much different from the zoning board hearing.
Okay, and then you vote at that point, or you just voted now by doing that?
No, the final decision would likely come after the public hearing.
Okay.
Hey, Jim, this is Ann.
Yep.
So the plan we got this for this meeting will be revised to show scale, and it would also be, like I say, the conditions, the hours of operation. 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. and no parking on the on Route 9. And I think it's clear there'd be no salvage.
Yeah, he's already got that about no salvage.
Okay.
We got to delete the two spaces there that was talked about, and also no overnight parking of hauling trucks. So I got four things to add, but I was going to call Bill about that and get it done in January.
Okay. So the next site plan we see will have those things on it.
Correct.
Okay.
Well, it'll probably be the same site plan that you have, but
right.
I'm going to add the north,
right?
Symbol the north, and those couple other.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. No part-time. Sure. All right.
Before any further. If not, then about a spare plan, Mr. Smith, do you have any questions of us?
I do not.
I'm good. Thanks for this letter, everybody. Appreciate it.
Thank you, everybody, and have a Merry Christmas again.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, guys.
Bye now. Next
time I have on the agenda is Route 9 Auto World. Do we have one of those?
Yes, we have Mr. Vittengill and, let me see. Hey, Bob? Bob, are you there?
I'm here.
Yeah, do you know who you got from the EDP? Is it Joe Danimal?
It's Joe Danimal, right.
Okay. Joe, are you there? Joe? Joe?
Yeah, hello.
Yes, okay. We have Joe Danimal from EDP and Bob Vittengill, who's the property owner.
Good
evening. Joe Danimal, Environmental Design Partnership, here on behalf of Route 9 All World Inc. and our application for a two-lot subdivision. As everyone's aware, we presented a couple months ago now concept plan. located on Route 9, directly across or at the intersection of Route 9 and Reynolds Road. What we are proposing within the C1 district, contrary to the concept of review we had as pre-lot, we reviewed a simple two-lot subdivision, both lots having frontage on Route 9. One lot would be the previous automotive dealership, and a second lot to the north and west of that would be for a future zoning compliant use. We are providing an easement for a potential 60-foot right-of-way if further subdivisions are to occur on this property. Property would have on-site stormwater management, connection to public water, connection to public sewer when available. We provide more with several different concept plans, most of them. We're showing two new lots along with the existing building. Again, as we have stated, we are now proposing a flat subdivision, very similar road configuration to what was previously proposed. The bill provides direct to Route 9 at the signalized intersection of Reynolds and Route 9 to the fourth leg of that intersection. We have submitted a plan to the New York State DOT. We are awaiting responses from their office. This plan in general is going to be the start of cleaning up that intersection, providing better access to Route 9. And ultimately, as the plan continues through a site view, once a tenant or a purchaser is identified for the property, the plan will be again in front of the board for site plan review. At that point in time, there's going to be a lot more details associated with the site plan. As opposed to the simple two-lot subdivision we are looking for. So with that, I'd ask if they have any questions. We'd be looking to set a public hearing for the subdivision in where it needed, and hopefully obtain final approval at that point in time. Thank you.
Okay, regarding the past history on this application, we did last look at this in October. It was a three-lot subdivision. I think as indicated on sheet 3 of 3, they have since, as indicated, reduced this down to a two-lot. Technically speaking, this could qualify for a two-lot subdivision by the zoning administrator, meaning me, but I was of the opinion that since it started with the board, it should finish. And then the other thing that takes it a little bit more beyond a two-lot subdivision is this idea of accommodation of an access road at some point in the future. So DOT's in the mix, there's a signalized intersection there. I thought it was best to proceed on with the board's review of this and just let it work its way through the process rather than doing it as an administrative approval. So with those extenuating circumstances on this, I directed the applicant to continue with the review with the board for a two-lot subdivision. I think the tricky part here is the lots as shown, the two lots, do qualify as conforming lots. And I do like that they did show the ability to accommodate a 60-foot wide easement here on lot 1 at some point in the future. And obviously, if that happens, then that boundary line is going to adjust to what is that southerly, if you will, line of that easement. So that lot will reduce in area. But even at that reduced size, it is a qualifying lot, meeting our standards in the zoning. So I think this is a good layout to this. It's accommodating future growth, both in terms of provision of a proper easement for a public right-of-way to come through here, and as well as potentially that third lot that was indicated, you know, in the prior sketch plan. So this has a lot of flexibility built into it. and it can accommodate those future scenarios.
Hey, Jim.
Yeah.
When you say they're conforming lots, lot number two, if I look at the road width, is 184 feet, and in a C1 zone, the minimum lot width is 200.
No, it's one. But remember, lot width is measured at the building. So, at the front line of the building. So,
the building is.
Yep, and if they orient the building, so it's you know fronting on that easement, and the public right of way is through there, then that's a conforming lot. So until we have a building, we don't know about that.
Well, then if they're going to go through that easement, you're saying that's where the new road is going to be?
Correct.
So if we're subdivided, shouldn't they have to put that new road in, put that stub in, if we're going to look at it that way? I believe so, with the utilities and stuff.
That's what you do the reviews, Mike.
To make it a conforming lot, I think that's what they should go ahead and start stub the road in.
Well, I guess I would look at it and think if the, and again, I'm just looking at this from a numbers thing at this point. If the lot line was the smaller radius of that easement, then they would have the necessary lot width of 200 at the point of subdivision, right? It wouldn't matter where they put that building in the future. They don't have to come back and ask anybody for a variance. I'm just looking at it as something that could potentially be done to ease any additional burden on the applicant in the future.
Well, it could be shown that way, and then if and when the time comes for that road to be cut through there, the boundary would adjust back the other way to where it is now.
I'm looking at it. I just wanted to make sure we were creating it.
If I could maybe add something to this, we've got 184 out of lot 2 width. Right, we have 323.56 out of lot 1. But then on the very front of the 60 foot easement on lot 1 is 93 foot. Now, I'm not sure, is that the width of the where that easement locates onto Route 9?
What that's showing is that's the width that has to be done in order to accommodate the radius, you know, access.
Okay, so I'm guessing that the 184 measurement goes to the far northern edge of that 93 feet. That means that if you go to the back edge of that radius, you're already at 200 feet.
That is correct.
I believe, looking at it quickly here, I don't have a scale measure here myself, but that's what it looks like to me. So I think we're already at 200 feet, maybe 16, well, probably less than 16 feet from the curb.
And the other thing is that if these lots just stay as they are, the building can go on the way back there where the lot widens out to, 400 feet.
Exactly.
And it would also meet the lot, so...
But to John's point, the 184 plus the 16 radius gives you 200, so the math is there. So
correct.
A comment withdrawn. Thank you, John.
No problem. So while I have the floor, I have a question on it looks like we're setting up to put in a potential hammerhead on the back end of this proposed road for the future. On the west edge of that, I see a separate lot that's listed as 35 by 30. Is that to be owned by lot 1? Is that the idea of that? And then later converts lot 2?
That is just an easement. That is part of lot 2. If for a hammerhead, that will be an easement lot 2 to allow for a hammerhead turnaround.
Alright, so then that should be labeled as an easement?
Yep.
Because it appears, the way it's labeled, it appears like a separate lot. I don't see easement written anywhere on it. It just looks like it's a separate lot that's 30 by 35.
That's not a problem.
You
certainly take care of that.
Okay. I mean, whether you do it with a dotted line and just write easement on it or whatever, I get what you're doing with it. It makes sense. But the way it's set up, it looks like a separate lot. It's got four sides to it. So.
Yeah, not a problem. We can make that
This is Ann. I have a couple of questions that, regarding the EAF. You report that there is a portion of the site designated as sensitive for archaeological purposes, and then there's also some hazmat. Can you explain where they are and what that is?
So a portion of the site is within a map identified by the state as the potential for archaeological sensitive. Something was found at some point in time in the site, and I've heard it rated probably like 500 or 1,000 feet of the site. So that is why that field auto-populated. Another field, the hazardous material field, was likely auto-populated by the EAF mapper, which is done by the state. There's probably been remediation on gas stations potentially across the street, possibly on this site or adjacent to this site. Nothing is triggered on the site itself, the adjacent site.
It may be a PCB remediation from the property to the west.
Okay.
It would be subject to the road dedication process of the town. It has to be built to a certain standard. Paul has to inspect it as it's being built. The town attorney gets involved for the deed descriptions and all that.
Okay.
And it goes through a regular process for road dedication to the town. The complicating factor here is going to be is the permit from DOT for that access on Route 9.
Okay.
Depending upon what that road is envisioned to be used for, DOT is going to be looking at that to see if there's any adjustments needed to that signal. So this could be, in my opinion, it could be quite an involved review with DOT over, you know, how that road accesses their highway and does it impact their signal at all.
I just hate to have them say no when we say it's subdivided into two lots.
Well, the basic thing to remember is these two lots could be made, the subdivision could occur, and everything would be fine.
Okay.
All right, you could have just simple driveways to these, whatever these end uses are, and that would be that.
Okay.
But you could also have this idea, and I think it's a nice idea for this road to come through and join in where it is. It makes for a four-way intersection there. And as we all know, the land in the back, the north and west, is substantial. So there could be some volumes of traffic coming through there.
Okay, thank you.
And to add to Jim's comments on that, if you look at the map, I think it's the second page map, it gives you the existing situation on this property. If this were to be subdivided into two parcels, there's already curb cuts for both parcels. There's access to both of them from Route 9 if that road never goes in. But it is to the benefit of the people that own these two lots to have this road connect to that other parcel if that other parcel develops, because they become the access road to the other parcel. A lot more traffic. It's a benefit to DOT to not have traffic going in by Pioneer truck into that property instead of coming in off that intersection and that light. So I think it's actually very nice forward thinking, and it's good that it benefits the current landowner too as far as marketing goes.
I have a question as I look to the applicant, as I look at this existing. Are these existing buildings intended to be removed or remained? Yeah, are the intention to keep the buildings or remove them?
The intention is certainly to keep the building on lot one. Ultimately, that the building on lot two would be removed and a new building would be constructed in its place.
Because for right now, we need to see where that subdivision line falls in relation to those two buildings, because we got to make sure the setback requirements are met. I know it's only 15 feet for a side yard setback, but nonetheless, we need to make sure that line for those two existing buildings exists in such a manner that we don't set up a nonconformity.
Jim, I think it's clear that the north building will not be even 15 feet from that line. In fact, it looks like the line might kind of take the end off the building. So,
yeah, I agree with that. So the question we need to answer is, if that building is not to be removed, do we need to get a variance, or do we commit to that building in order to file a subdivision?
Correct. That's right. You can't create a non-conforming situation with a new lot line.
That's
something I will
talk to Bob.
If you remove the building, that's a moot point. But if it remains, then you know what? We can't have that line. We can't have the setback set up so they don't work.
You know, similar to that on sheet two, there's in the northwest corner of what will be lot two, there's a building remnant. What is that? It just says building around that, shows it as a rectangle. It looks like it's probably a foundation, but I just don't know what's back there. But that would be close to setback as well, but not that it's a building, I don't think.
So that one, I believe, would certainly fall outside of the setback. We can verify exactly what that building is or what it's containing.
Well, I was going to say this, the old car wash building, by the looks of the map, is about 2 feet over the line. This, I don't think you get a variance to allow the building to be on the line or over the line. So if this subdivision were to move forward, I think that building would have to be raised. I think that would have to be part of the plan.
And I certainly believe that is what we intend to do.
Requires only documentation, which would, I think, seem premature for this, like layout plans, construction plans, and the like. So this is a two-lot subdivision. We do not need to require that level of detail at this point.
That's up to you, and you as a board can require some of those things or none of them. You have the power to waive certain requirements of a subdivision application.
But it could be deferred to site plan.
Correct. I mean, I think it's a great idea what they have here. I see what they're trying to do, you know, with that easement. I think it's a great idea. It's one that I support. But for now, given the physical makeup of that site, we can't have that subdivision line where it is shown. It's got to move.
Or the building has to go.
Or the building has to be gone.
Or moved. If you want to lift it up and move it 15 feet.
Yep.
I really doubt that building is part of the long-term plan here anyways.
I suspect it is not, given what I've seen in the original three-lot subdivision. You know, they're both... You know, again, I think it's a great idea. I give the owner a lot of credit for trying to provide an easement to access the lot in the rear. It's the right thing to do, and we shouldn't lose sight of that. But we just can't configure lots that don't meet the standards in the code.
And I guess my thing is I'd really rather see them leave that easement in.
I agree.
Leave the lines wherever they are. I think it's clean. I think it works. I think it's a really nice design. And then just deal with the building and deal with it. I mean, it's got to be dealt with anyways. But that's me, and I'm not the owner. And I'm not the one that's going to have to write the check to have it demolished. So
correct.
I understand.
Yep.
I think Jim's solution is a good, elegant solution. Adjust the boundary line later. I'm comfortable with not showing, you know, a proposed building on either of the lots because, in my opinion, they're both large enough to handle anything that's likely to go on there. There's plenty of room beyond the setbacks. It seems like, you know, yeah, we'll get a chance to site plan. We're going to bite the apple then. So, you know, I'm pretty good with as presented, I think, once they adjust the lot line.
So the idea then, Jim, is to run the lot line pretty much down the middle of that existing easement, or the current proposed easement, and then just right on it that there's a 30-foot easement on either side, or...
What I think could happen is that we show a proposed boundary line between these, or creating these two lots that is compliant to the setback. So the buildings meet the setback. And they don't have to be demolished or moved. But I think what should also be shown is a notation about this easement and the idea of a future road providing access to the rear. I don't think that should be lost simply for accommodation of this temporary boundary line that's going to meet the setbacks. I think draw the line for now like that, but then provide a notation on the plaque that says the future intent is to adjust the boundary and provide a 60-foot easement for this access road for this property as well as the property to the rear.
Okay, so Jim, if you could just follow my thought here for a minute.
Yep.
What you're proposing is to move the lot line, or the subdivision lot line, to the middle of the existing proposed easement, and then down the road, we'll have a note that says down the road we may move that lot line to allow for this 60-foot road easement.
Correct.
Okay, here's my concern with that is if they're trying to sell this second lot, this lot two, and they sell lot two, and the new owner says, yeah, I don't really want the road off in front of my lot. Okay, now if you look to the, I guess it would be the southwest end of that access easement, if you divide that easement in half, they no longer have 60 feet to access that CDS South or SJ LLC property.
Right.
So I mean, I guess I'm asking that maybe we move that line in the middle so we can get around this demolishing that building, but we have right on the plan that there's a 30-foot easement on either side of that line for that road.
Perfect. That's even better, John. That's a better solution.
I mean, that way the whoever buys lot two not only knows ahead of time, they don't have any argument for why they don't want to do it. It's already been put in there that it should be there.
I
have one other comment, John, because while I agree with what you've done, what we need to do too is, as presented, we have the lots one and two both include front setbacks along this proposed paper street.
Right.
That for now, that's a side setback.
Correct.
Because these lots front on Route 9, that street doesn't exist. So that should be changed to be a side setback.
Correct.
Right.
In the future, if you want to show that there's a buffer that if the road goes in, you need to be 60 feet back from it. That could be another line that was on there, but for now, those are just side setbacks.
Yeah, that's true. Very much so.
Yep, that's correct. You follow all that, Joe?
Yeah, I've got all that. I have no problem with the lot line, center line of the future road, providing the 30-foot easement, and even providing a restriction on the front of the property within that future front yard setback, if needed, if that becomes a future road, nothing can be built within there, or at least with your building setback, as if it was a front. We have no problem doing that. And we certainly invite the plan to reflect that.
All right. And if you throw the easement on the plat like that, and those easements are written into each of the corresponding deeds for those lots, that'll be a strong indication that at some point in the future, the idea is to have this access road.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But it needs to be a notation on the plat and an easement written into each deed.
Was that a question?
I thought
that was a statement.
That was a
statement. Okay. Yeah, I think that's.
Did he just
go mute? Pardon? Did he just go mute?
No, I think he's just. I think. Is there any. I don't know if there's any other comments on this or not.
Board, is he good?
Nothing for me.
What about the roads clear for the applicant? Do you have any questions of the board? Hearing none, thank you for your interest in the town. I wish you the happiest of holidays.
I don't know are we going to have a revised plat then on the next submission?
Do we need to revise it then?
I mean, the other thing that's been discussed, I think. I understand your point, Joe, about the archaeology, but once that happens, I don't know of any other way around that short of a phase 1A.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The notation is in.
Joe?
Because there is no ground disturbance associated with this subdivision, the ground disturbance is going to come in to the site plan review, and that's at what time the archaeological investigation should be.
That's a good comeback.
He wants to do. He's saying he wants to do the archaeology at the time of site plan review.
Yes.
I mean, archaeology is never hindered to develop a site. It's just the level of study and excavation and artifact and approval, if any, that are associated with that approval and that construction.
That's true.
And to be honest with you, the notations are already on the application. So if somebody does buy this lot, they're already aware that it shows up on that map.
Yeah, I think as long as we have a notation to that effect on the plat for now, I think that'll be sufficient.
Yeah.
That'll be a red flag for site plan review.
Yep.
Well, do you think you'll be ready for January?
Absolutely. It's minor revision. I'd certainly like to ask for a public hearing and get this wrapped up in January.
So, are you requesting a public hearing for January?
Yes.
If a public hearing is the project, yes, we are requesting a public hearing.
Lord.
Make a motion to schedule a public hearing for this project, the Route 9 Auto World, Route 9.
Thank you.
January, is it January 21st?
25th.
January 25th at 7:15.
Sounds like a plan.
And remember, Joe, we need to see a sign up on the site. Also notifying about the public hearing at least 10 days in advance.
Yep, we'll coordinate all that with the town. And 10 days prior to that, so after the new year, we'll get that all coordinated with the town.
Okay.
This is Ann. Do we also need to do the seeker determination tonight?
We're technically supposed to do that now in advance of the public hearing.
Yes. Wash it, the motion on the floor, the public hearing is 15 January, which is 25. So, to that motion, do we have a second?
No second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Any further discussion? It's not very controversial. All those in favor, aye?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention. Motion carried. Now we need to decide what we're going to do with the seeker.
Okay, I gotta get you a part two.
Do you need it? Okay.
Part two.
Do I have a word of opinion? For the tax seeker?
Make a survey the agency at us for seeker?
Well, if it's a type 2 action, you don't need to do it.
Okay. All right,
you should start. I'm just going to buzz out of here and hurry up for something, so maybe feel like. Fingers until he gets back to my own concern. That silence is deafening, is it not? Are we going to consider this?
That's what happens when you give me a new one.
So we're going to consider this a type 2 action on the seeker?
You could. I think it meets the definition.
Okay. Do I have a motion? I guess not.
A motion for what, Pete? I'm sorry, it broke up a little bit.
The determination as to a unlisted or type 2 action, does this qualify for a type 2? I think it does, but.
Okay. Do I have a motion to declare the environmental assessment for Route 9 Autumn World as a type 2 action?
I'll make that motion, Mr. Meredith.
Motion made. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion been made and seconded to declare environmental assessment for Route 9 Auto World as a type 2 action. I don't think, I don't think that's too controversial. All those in favor, aye?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Okay.
Thank you.
Turn it on to third place. Have a good one. Do you have any further questions on the board? If not, thank you, and we wish you the happiest of holidays, and above all, be safe.
Okay, so next up is Jerome Builders for
Kobe.
Yep.
We have one of those.
Yes, we do. We have Anthony Cerrone and Gianni Simone from Cerrone Builders. And we have Travis.
Joe Gannable presenting this one as well.
Okay, Joe. We have Joe Bon from EDP, and we have Anthony Cerrone, Gianni, and Keith Cerrone from Cerrone Builders. Guys, you all there?
Yes, good evening, gentlemen, and ladies.
Hey, Jim.
Yeah.
Meredith, before we start, I do need to disclose that I have a personal relationship with the Cerrone family. I have no financial
counsel
this, but
we are friends. Okay. Okay, no story.
Okay, just to ask before we get going, I have a PowerPoint presentation. Is there any manner in which this presentation can be shown to the board by sharing co-hosting capabilities?
Everybody's got the site plan, Joe.
Okay.
The other, I understand this was split, and this is something for the board to consider too, but I think it would be best that this review to occur, you know, for both the north and the south. But I don't know how the board feels.
Certainly, I present what I have, and everyone does have the site plan in front of them.
Yes, everybody's been provided a hard copy of both the north and the south plan.
Okay. Now, I'll also ask, these are separate tax parcels, two separate projects. Obviously, through the a lot of connection between the two of them. I will present them both individually, but we'll certainly talk about them as a whole.
Okay.
If that's okay with the board. Okay. So, good evening, Joe Gannable with the Environmental Design Partnership here on behalf of Jerome Builders and their application for two subdivisions known as Jacoby Farms North and Jacoby Farms South. The project located on the east side of Gansmore Road along Lennox Boulevard, or Rec Road, leading, that's the road that leads to the area Beachar Recreation Park. The properties themselves are located along the north side and the south side of the access road. We are looking at full parcels within the R2 residential district. The north side of the... I'm a little trouble with my fingers here. North side of the road has totaled about 14.75 acres. South side of the road, about 14.5 acres. Individually looking at them, as we break down the density computation based upon excess public water and individual septic systems with a minimum lot area of 22,500 square feet, we have allowable density on the north side of the road of 27 lots and an allowable density on the south side of the road of 27 lots as well. What we are proposing to do under the cluster provision of the town of Moreau is propose two cluster subdivisions, one for 27 lots on the north side of the road and one for 26 lots on the south side of the road. On the north side of the road, we're proposing to create one-way access road coming off of Rec Road so that no individual curb cuts for single-family houses are located along the entrance road, and we created a park-like setting by having individuals, these combined curb cuts leading to these public roads for individual lots within the center green area of the curb cuts, these hot sprouts. There will be green space that will be maintained by the homeowner associated for by residents of the community. What we have is three pods or clusters on the north road, totaling seven single-family lots. Five street trees, open space, and community gathering areas in those areas. We're also providing and dedicating to the town about a quarter acre of land at the park entrance on the north and a quarter acre on the south side of the road that will be dedicated to the town of Moreau, so that monument signs can be erected by the town and landscape we put in that area to create a entrance, a formal entrance to the park at the end of this access, at the end of this subdivision. South side of the road. Similar to the north side of the road, we're creating three individual pods. Two of them, the first two as you enter, going from the left to right, or the east, sorry, the west to the east. Single one-way access road that we're working on with the highway department. Large community open space areas within the center green portion of these lots. The third pod is going to have a boulevard road that will provide future access to the undeveloped lands on the south side of the property. Along the south side of the property, from the first new public road to the park, we're providing an asphalt pathway. Between the pathway and the actual road, we're proposing a series of street trees. Again, it's our intent to limit curb cuts from individual households directly onto Rec Road and provide park-like settings with large expanses of green areas in the front of every pot. Overall, the subdivision between these two, the north and the south, is 27 on the north and the south, with 53 new single-family lots. On-site stormwater management, municipal connection to water, and individual system absorption people on every lot. That is generally what we're looking at. We're here for sketch plan review of the cluster subdivision, and we're here to address any comments or questions the planning board may have, and then we would proceed into the detailed engineering of each individual project. Thank you.
Mark, we've heard a summary of the proposal. Do you have any questions on that at this time?
the application, and I thought we were going to be reviewing these as two separate subdivisions.
We can.
Okay. But it turns up in both of them anyways. So page 3 gets really messy on both of them. So page 3 on the application says that the typical dimensions of the lots will be 75 feet by 150, which results in an average lot area of about 12,000 square feet. It's a little less than that. Okay? But then down below, under smallest lot, it lists 0.34 square feet. And I'm assuming that's supposed to be 0.34 acres as the smallest lot. But 12,000 square feet is less than 0.34 acres. So I guess I'm trying to see if maybe before this comes back in front of us, if the numbers in the application be cleaned up a little bit. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, we can certainly take a look at that. Certainly what we are proposing when we provide the bulk standard is the minimum lot area. Front yard setback, rear yard setback, side yard setback, lot width, lot depth. Those are the minimums. When we actually drew the subdivision, the smallest lot, not the minimum size lot, the smallest lot, actually 0.24 acres at that juncture. So again, what we have on the plan is minimal, not necessarily the smallest lot we are proposing.
Okay. So, since we're dealing with these two together, when I looked at the southern one, because that's what came first in our packet, I noticed that there was a portion of land on the west end of the Jacoby property, about 2 acres that wasn't included in the south one. And then when I got to the north subdivision plan, I noticed that the houses or the acres didn't match. And from what I can tell, you somehow taken that 2 acres and included it with the north side on the other side of the road.
Yeah, that's what we're looking to do there. So on the north side of the road, we're proposing the 27 lot, trying to come up with the optimal layout for both of these parcels, putting 27 on the north side and 26 on the south side. Seems the layout best, which is the most attractive layout in the master plan of these two parcels. In order for us to meet the density requirement to have 27 lots on the north side of the road, we needed to acquire additional land. We took that from the south side of the road to be able to increase density on the north side of the road.
Okay, so, but bear with me on this. Are these two projects or subdivisions, are they proposed separately from each other? These are two separate subdivisions that we're looking at here.
Yes, they are.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. The reason I'm asking this is it's not usually, as far as I know, our policy to let a developer pick up land somewhere else not contiguous or adjacent to their development and use that against their density calculations in proposing their development or their subdivision. If these are two separate tax maps, two separate projects, then basically what we're doing is allowing you to add 2 acres from somewhere else to the north one for no other purpose than to increase your number of houses on the north side of the road. Is that accurate?
I'd say that we are increasing the density by 2 lots on the north side of the road to get up to the 27. However, looking at the overall plain picture of this community, the optimal layout and the most official layout for the community as a whole would be to have the 27 on the north and reduce it in the south. We could certainly add 2 more lots to the south side of the road and reduce those lots on the south side of the road. We just don't net the line curb cuts on record. If we can make that happen, or we can do some lot line adjustments and land transfers prior to the application if that was a more appropriate method.
No, I don't think that's where I was going with it. Okay? And I don't intend to know why this is being done as two separate subdivisions. But if this was all one subdivision, this would be a moot point. I mean, basically, you're fitting in as a total with the two subdivisions. If you were to fold them back together, you are fitting in with the density. All right, as it is. So I guess I don't understand why, but it's not my business to understand why. What I am doing is looking forward. So if we have 2 years from now, a developer that would like to put more houses on the site that he has, but he can't because of density issues, we're saying it's okay for you to pick up a property that's not attached to your subdivision, all right, in any way, and add that in and count it on the same tax map, and therefore count it towards the density. And that, to me, that's a very dangerous thing for us to allow them to do. So...
Really?
That's an opinion, I don't know. But I guess that's where I'm at. I don't know if there's some business reason for you to divide these up into two separate proposals, but if that's the case, then I like the layout. I'm not saying I don't like what you've done, and I say I personally think your density is good as a single development. But if you're going to split it into two, one on one side, one on the other, then I'm a little uncomfortable with you taking some of the land from the south one and just including it with the north one to get a density change.
Yeah, the main purpose is ultimately, we looked at this project as a whole, talking with Jerome, that was going to be developed the north side first and the south side second. If you will, in phase one and phase two of the project. They don't want to go in and build up the road right up front. They want, again, only want to build a portion of it. We looked at it, we had different tax parcels. We said, hey, let's just, rather than do this as a phase project, an overall phase project, let's just do this as a sub on the north side of the road, get that approved, done, move forward with that, and continue to pursue approval down the south side of the road as a separate application. Therefore, you're not funding two projects at once. You're funding one, you get the revenue from the first project to help fund the second subdivision.
I guess you're
right. Doing when we came to the layout, the numbers of what both sides of the road didn't match the intent of what we wanted to do. So we're trying to work with the land, come up with a creative way to get the most optimal layout for the road and still achieving the benefits that the owners are looking for.
I guess, Joe, from my standpoint, I can appreciate all that. And first of all, I think you had a very creative design here. I've seen, over the last 2 or 3 years, there's been people in my office with probably a half a dozen plans for this property, and this is the most creative I've seen. So I give you a lot of credit, you know, for the layout here with the use of these, you know, one-way, like, eyebrow roads, if you will, and that kind of thing. I think it's great. But I got to say, I don't know why this is simply not a conventional 154-lot subdivision in two phases. I don't know. Because there's things that just make it hard to review. I mean, one of my questions is, how do these road alignments occur among these two north and south subdivisions? Do these one-way access ways to the wreck road, do they align with one another, you know, throughout, you know, this roadway here? It's hard to see. I just think you're making it more complicated doing it as two subdivisions and seeking two approvals. Just get one 54-lot subdivision clustered and phase it.
I agree with you. And I think seeker-wise, it's treading a fine line.
Right.
And
I agree with Meredith on that.
So, you know, there's no wetlands in the species. There's nothing contending with environmentally, so I think it's cleaner than just keep it as one.
And that's something we can certainly go with. However, one of the figures that I had provided in my... which unfortunately, the way we're set up right now, I can't show you, is it takes a help to combine them into our overall master plan to show where the roads align, so that we did align the roads on the north and south. for the horseshoes in the green area, the boulevard, cul-de-sac to the north. And again, that's why that itself gives it, it lends itself to 27 on the north and 26 on the south side of the road.
And then the other thing I think that needs to be shown here so we don't lose this in the mix, and this oftentimes happens with clustered subdivisions, you know, we don't have a 27-lot subdivision here. We have a 28-lot subdivision because there's going to be one lot for the HOA. And that is going to be a tax map number, and so I think we need to count that as a lot. So whatever lot is going to end up and eventually be an HOA lot, we need to show those as individual lots for the HOA.
All right, so going back to the portion of the south side that's been set aside to allow for density on the north side, we've now created this orphan lot on the south side. I mean, it's basically a homeowner association by people that aren't even connected to that property. All right, it's just going to sit there. It's banked, I guess you could call it. And I don't mind if it was directly across the road even from this northern subdivision, but it's not. It's up the road. There's no way that anybody can discern that this is connected if we do this as two separate subdivisions. I'm just really uncomfortable with the idea that somebody could, down the road by two separate parcels, okay, one that's not developable really, the other one that is, and then say they're all one tax map and hey, we're just going to use the density from the combined total. It's just really uncomfortable. I know that's not what's going on here. That's why I really like to see this put back together as one development. And we do one development with two phases, fine.
All right. So I understand, Joe, that 2.01 acres that John's referring to, you're using the density off of that, correct? You're using the density off of that 2.01 acres into the other side of the road here, so to speak, in this Toby North, right?
Yeah, I
agree with John. I think that lends it more to wanting to be one subdivision in two phases. Because I don't want it to be lost in the future. If that's a separate lot and you're using the density off it, which is fine under the clustering provision, and that's going to be an HOA lot, it's got to be very clear that there's nothing ever going to be built in that area of the subdivision then, because there's no density left to do it. So that's going to be a vacant portion of this land forever.
It's certainly here with the board. Seems like we've got a couple options here. We either combine it one, or he allows density individual tax map parcels on the north south. Those are really our two options. We don't want to turn a set of precedent with transferring development rights from one parcel to another.
Well, we can't because we have no mechanism to do that. So it's not allowed in Moreau.
Okay.
My comment is the boulevard style road.
Yep.
And the location of it. I understand the purpose which you stated, which was to provide access, future access to lands to the south. That's admirable. I understand forward thinking. My problem is, if we have that boulevard and that access road there, people have to come all the way down the Rec Park Road, which I would like to think that you put in some trails and all that. There's going to be a lot of kids. There's going to be traffic, foot traffic, bike traffic in there. I would personally think it would be better if we could move that access or proposed access into that land closer to Route 32, rather than dragging all that traffic down to near the gate of the Rec Park. So
one of the reasons that we move Access Road all the way to the west, we are now creating a situation where we do not make cuts on the north and south side of the road. And then I think that in order to create the Breck Road and this park-like entrance, people get by the curb cuts and some streetscape that they're proposing, pretty important. Now, this 2.0 acres that we're talking about, that southern, you know, that 2 acre parcel does not align with the tract of undeveloped land on the side of the south of this project. So if we provide access there, we're essentially providing access to a lot of that front on Gainesville Brook, the larger land needs to be south of the south park.
Okay, well, I don't think, I mean, I'll take your word on that. It would be helpful to see where those lines are for those adjacent properties.
The lot line, keep the large track, and on the south side, along with the proposed lot line we put in there, take that 2.0 acres and add it to the north.
So the phantom line that I see on the south subdivision map, I see, I guess on both, there's a phantom line at the southeast corner of that 2.01 acre lot.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm sure, I mean, you guys do this, this is your expertise. I'm just making a comment that if there was some creative way to reduce the amount of traffic that was going all the way through this subdivision in order to get to another subdivision in the future, which is undoubtedly a large tract of land, would have potentially a large number of houses in it. I would think for the purpose of what you're trying to do, it would be, in my opinion, better to reduce the amount of traffic that got all the way through your proposed subdivision. But just a comment.
Thank you.
Board, anything further?
Is anyone talking about right-of-way again? Does he like the 60-wide road?
Yeah, Paul's seen this preliminarily, and I mean, we got to, you know, continue our dialogue, but I think he's fine with it.
And the one-way roads he's fine with?
Yep.
And the there's enough room for all the utilities there being out of the roadway?
Yes.
Or are they going to put the utilities in the roadway?
No, the utilities, as I understand, are going to be off to the side.
Okay.
Is that correct, Joe?
Yeah, I'm having a hard time hearing the people in the text call. The utilities would be on the side of the road, particularly the water would follow the loop that we're creating, these one-way loops.
Okay, and have we talked with Jesse about the impact of the water? We're okay with that?
Yeah, there's a, how many inch line in Route 32?
8 inch line.
There's plenty of water there. They've had preliminary meetings with both Joe and Paul and Jesse.
Any plans of interconnections in our Morrow Rec Park? Because there are, you know, there's some water in there, and continue that loop system there, and it's a Jesse thing, but maybe to get some more water from our park or something like that. Has there been any?
That has been the intent. Joe? Any response to the water?
So we have had several conversations with the water department. There is stations. Certainly we're anticipating bringing water from Gansworth on and run to the park. This conversation to negotiate about potentially extending this water main, park looping the system, increase pressure. A better system overall. So one of the And that's really about as far as we are in the note. 5 water to the substance, actually, through the park, running enough through the park, enough, certainly a significant additional cost to the developer action, but it is a discussion about the park.
Okay, thank you. And how about the transportation department and the schools? Are they okay with these smaller one-way roads, you know, picking kids up, dropping kids off? Because there is none in the town now. And I don't think they go into a lot of these roads, you know, where you're going to have kids walking out of the main roads. I think that's an avenue that needs to be explored with the school transportation department. And plus the impact on our schools, you know, we're talking about combining here. We're looking at, you know, 50 houses. Are we going to throw another 100 kids into our school?
We historically notify the school system with a copy of all of these drawings at the secret review tank.
Okay.
Give them an opportunity for their input prior to the public hearing.
Okay, thank you.
They always include that.
Yeah. I think a phone call to the transportation end of this thing with the one-way roads to see if we're going to have to build like bus stops for these kids on the rec road, or are they going to go into those roads? I think that would be probably a good conversation piece for this, for the safety of the children. And being that it's going to be on the rec road and those kind of things.
And you make a good point. I'm picturing the bus coming in down rec road, and how does it get back out?
Right.
Probably going to go up into that cul-de-sac.
And, right.
You know, so it's, yeah, that's right. a good discussion.
And then, is that end goal going into the rec thing? I'm not sure that'll happen. Again, that's a Department of Transportation thing at the school. So I think that's all important things that we try to do here in our community. So let's take a look at that, okay?
Yeah, so we will certainly, you know, work with the school on this. One thing I like, you know, one of the great things about this lookout is the grain within the eyebrow.
Very good.
Walk into their home. Through Rec Road, you're only about 150 feet to one at its furthest location. But these center green areas were intentionally set up so that every home on the outside of that loop that center group, as well as connecting to rec. So there's always the ability to have supervision on students walking to the road and be waiting for pickup if it is decided that it needs to occur on rec road. Also, because our business is where the children, you're going to go and football around and have play games with one another. It's kind of the urban suburban design in what all of the homeowners have eyes out to be able to provide a safer environment for children of that community.
I think in many, many ways is a superior design over some I've seen. The other thing this is maybe a little early for this, Joe, but I would anticipate it. What we're finding more and more with these larger subdivisions is that the postmaster is not approving individual mailboxes anymore for individual homes. They're increasingly requiring that centralized mail pickup locations and drop-off locations be provided. So they're off-site mailboxes in a group, so to speak. And I can anticipate that happening here, and you should have that discussion with the postmaster as to where that facility is going to be located, given this design. Because I can tell you right now, I doubt very much it's going to be individual mailboxes for these houses anymore.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's generally the trend that came with all residential.
You've got plenty of space for it here, and you can work it into a nice community spot or centralized spot for each of these eyebrows, but I would anticipate that happening as this gets more and more detailed.
Yep, certainly great point.
looking by the fire hydrant, you know, then they can walk around and everything at the same time.
So, Mr. Van, I've got a quick question about what is the maintained and occupied HOA. Sometimes it's clearly marked, but then there's some areas behind the lot, you know, odd-shaped areas that don't have any designation. So contemplate they also would be HOA owned and operated along with the stormwater management funds.
I don't think that's the case here, man. I think they're doing like a hybrid here. There's going to be some areas that are conventionally owned by an HOA and maintained, meaning these center areas of these eyebrows. But the rear portions of these lots, what I glean off of this notation is that these are going to be privately owned with, like, Lot 9, for example, on Jacoby Farm South. You see Lot 9 there, Jacoby Farm South? That rear area of that lot is going to be owned by that lot owner, but that lot owner is going to be restricted from any kind of cutting activity in that portion of the lot.
Okay, I understand. But the roadways, would they be HOA owned?
No, I think the roadways are going to be town owned. And that was my point earlier. So we're going to have a reduced one-way right-of-way here that's going to be town-owned, but that center area is going to be owned by the HOA. So all those center areas become individual lots.
Stormwater
becomes
the HOA?
Typically it is, yes.
Those center green areas, that's something we're going to have to work out with the town, the highway department. I've seen through old Armouth clauses where that center green area is actually owned by the town, however, it's maintained by an HOA entity. Because it's in the right of way, I've also seen where it's subdivided out and given to the HOA. That's just something we're going to have to work on with the highway department and legal counsel for the town and the applicant to determine the most appropriate way and what everyone's most comfortable with moving that forward. The intent is to have that as a nice landscape area, lawn area, a recreation and attractive area that basically creates the extension and expansion of the park.
So I think in that regard, Joe, the preference is going to be for that to be HOA, not highway land.
Okay, and the stormwater management?
The stormwater management will be HOA.
I guess this is more of an observation than a question. We've got a number of subdivisions now, including this one, which will introduce a substantial number of new dwelling units in this neighborhood. Is there any precedent for doing more of a neighborhood type of traffic study that takes into account what we have on the table now, as opposed to individual projects?
So all traffic studies, when they're being completed, take into account adjacent projects that are pending or approved or under review. So why a complete traffic study is not done as individual developers or hire their own traffic engineer. All the traffic engineers looking at these projects do take a comprehensive look at all of the individual trips coming into the area.
Yeah, I've seen some that have not done that. So who is flying in? Is that your understanding as well, that with regard to, let's say, these other subdivisions that we're going to be looking at this evening, that the traffic studies will take into account the other's projects?
Yeah, that it is true that they should. Sometimes they don't, but they should, and I think we've been pretty diligent recently about making sure that that's the case, if there is that background growth is looked at. I mean, I've even been called by the traffic engineers wanting to know a list of pending projects in the town so they have an understanding. So I think that does happen. However, and this was going to be my recommendation when we do the staff notes on this subdivision as well as the one following here this evening, I think we have a very neat circumstance here where we have two major subdivisions that are at least major for us that are coming down no pun intended, coming down the pike here at the same time, and virtually across the street from one another. And I think we also have a unique opportunity here where we have the same consultant, land planning firm, is doing the designs for both. I think it would be worth exploring if the two landowners involved would be interested in jointly funding one traffic study to look at both of these and get a comprehensive view. Because between the two of them here, we've got some, 140 lots, approximately, in that ballpark. So it would be a worthwhile question to pose to this applicant as well as the one that's going to follow here. Would there be any interest in sharing that cost rather than funding two individual traffic studies that are going to have to go through that cumbersome process of trying to factor in growth rates of other projects? It would be cleaner and neater to do one jointly funded study here that looks at all of this at once.
So that's certainly something we consider. I think you've got to look into a little more detailed subdivision on the land just to the north of us. I know we are working on that. However, I believe a traffic study was done and approved by the town of Moroa at the time when the original subdivision was approved.
I'm sure that was the case. We would look to have that updated.
What's that?
But I said we would look to have that updated.
Looking to have that updated, okay.
Because that was done a number of years ago.
I would certainly have discussions with those applicants to see what we can do to make that happen.
You know, it might even be cheaper for each respective applicant if they had a cost sharing here and one study's done at one time. It might even lower the cost.
Certainly, we will have that discussion. Good comment.
Is there any street lighting plan or anything like that in these subdivisions?
It has been preliminarily discussed with the applicant. I think we're a little early here at sketch plan, but the applicant is aware that the town did express an interest in having the recreation road here street lights provided on one side.
Yeah, so we have not proposed any at this time. Again, this kind of goes back where we're looking at, we're negotiating a 1,000 linear feet or a water line extension, which doesn't come at a low cost threshold. So we got to look at the budgeting for the overall project. And I know there's been a lot of discussions about detailed updating rent roads, providing permits, providing sidewalks, pathways, providing various amenities along that road and throwing in the water. So the town's got a very big wish list of everything they want to see on this project. And the applicants are looking through and they think they're all good ideas, but certainly there's a cost associated with every one of them, so we have to go through and figure out which ones are definitely going to be the most beneficial to the town by meeting with them and the ones that also develop the community assets that we are looking to do. I would agree that community lighting associated with the community is a benefit to the community but also to the town. I think that's just the detail we're going to have to work out with the negotiations and all the other wants and desires the town has for this project.
Fair enough. Just curious if it come up. So, but thank you for the explanation.
It did come up.
Any idea where you're going to plan on looking to the sewer or anything, or is it going to be all set?
We're proposing a septic system. I don't believe there's any near future finalization of a sewer project.
We are going to have perk testing on on the next, as we get more detailed here, for both the septic systems and the stormwater, correct?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. A lot more details got to go into that.
Yep.
We're really just trying to look at the layout right now and make sure the board is good with the layout that's being proposed so we can then go do all the additional studies that are obviously a lot more money than the sketch plan we put together at this time.
I think the major takeaway from tonight is we'd like to see the, what I'm hearing is the idea of joining this into one application with two phases.
Absolutely. Yep, we certainly hear that. We'll figure out if that's the direction we can take it.
But from the standpoint of a staff person, I think the design is great. It's one of the more creative approaches I've seen, and I give you a lot of credit. There's a lot of positives out of this design. I certainly like the limits of curb cuts on Recreation Road. That itself is a big, big plus.
Yeah,
the
applicant of the Throne building, wonderful community that's going to be great for future landowners as well as the town.
Anything further? Well, thank you for your interest in that. And we look forward to working on you and this project progresses.
So I think what we're hearing is a favorable view of a preliminary application. But if we could see this as one application for 54 lots, that would be your, join the north and south together as one application, and then you can phase this however you see fit.
Nope, that's definitely heard. That's heard. I appreciate the board's time. That's it. And, have a great holiday.
You as well. Thanks, bro.
Okay.
Have a good night.
Good night.
I think that's the end of the proceedings. The man's a SRHDJ MLOC. We have one of
those. I think we do.
Travis, are you there?
Travis, I'm in bed.
Or are you awake? Travis? Travis?
You don't see.
Travis? Can you hear me?
Can't see or can't hear. Who's on the phone?
I don't know why not working over the other. No, I didn't see his message.
He says he's not in his cell. You can unmute that and give the number 518-347-7139.
I don't see that on my participant list.
Actually showing on the family.
Yeah, he's showing on. Yeah, I see him as an attendee, and I see his name there, but I don't see any other phone number.
Well, we go there ahead and come back to the phone.
hanging out to call him back in.
Okay. I see his chat now. Okay, Travis, are you there now? Because I've unmuted the phone number too. I see the phone number here now. Travis? He's having a problem. I see his phone number. Travis, you there?
All right, how about now?
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, boy. Technology. All right, sorry about that.
Well, true. And my computer's in trouble. Tell us the story.
Alright, and Jim, there's no good way to share a screen, right?
Not really, no. As I explained to your other colleague there, everybody's got hard copies of both your submissions.
Yeah, I'll do sure. So, the one we're discussing first is the SRHCGM subdivision. It's a 23.5-acre parcel with the one with frontage on Gansburg Road. This is split zoning on this piece, partially in the R1, partially in the R2. Underlying zoning, when you run through the calculations on this particular parcel, runs out to be just over 42 lots. We're proposing 40. And you recall we were there a couple months ago to split this up into these two different applications. Had we known a few months ago where we are today and the demand for these, maybe we would have left them together. But as it is, they are split at this point. We are moving forward with two different applications. This is something that Bruce Schirmerhorn, committee decision to split these, and now we're moving them. Obviously, you've got two applications, so we're going to move forward, as it turns out. I had a couple of graphics here to show you how everything works together. I think that in that plan that you've got in the SRAC, you can see one of those overall sheets that shows how they're connected together. As I mentioned, I think you gentlemen correctly pointed out, he was the only member on the board back then, but this was approved in 2010. It followed a very similar layout, keeping those open spaces behind the lot and similar configuration overall. There would be a homeowners association with all the stormwater, along the common lands throughout the subdivision. We did, I was like saying, I think it's been hearing, but I did overhear the discussion on the traffic study. When this was done 10 years ago, we did have a study completed, and over the last 10 years, as we've worked on other projects, we've carried the 84 total lots on these two projects forward, and carried them through in all the other studies. That said, we did engage the traffic engineer to update that study. She finished it in November, updated it for each of these projects. That was actually before we knew we were going to be working with the surrounding, that they were at the table with the project to the south. But I definitely agree with, I think it was an end comment that we should combine them together and look at them comprehensively, the both in front of you at the same time. So we'll go ahead and work with the surrounding to update the study that we've already got started and submitted to you to get the two of them working together. As far as the overall process goes, typically we submit sketch plans that Dave has given our history here and our background on the project, and took the liberty of just going forward with detailed review, certainly in comments that you have tonight. We'll take them into consideration. If that means resubmitting, we'll go ahead and do that. I thought we were pretty solid where we're headed. We've got a secret long form submitted. Our next steps, obviously understand comments, questions, concerns from the board, and we'd like to move it forward to the town departments and town engineer for their review, and eventually get secret coordinated review started. It'd be nice to get back on tonight if appropriate, and get a public hearing started. So with that, turn it over to any questions or comments from the board.
Or John?
Travis, John Arnold here. I think Dean was on the board with us too last time this was.
You're right. There probably was. He was chairman.
He's been here as long as I can remember.
Yeah, sure.
So when this was proposed originally, the lots 1 through 28, or 25, excuse me, lots 1 through 25 area, I could have sworn that we had a sidewalk allowance there. Something to do with these were a little bit smaller lots, and that there was maybe an older clientele.
Yep. Yeah, you're talking about there was an eyebrow in there that we were going to do it at the senior portion, and that may or I don't recall specifically on the sidewalk. I think very well said that. I just don't remember off that.
So, but I guess the question is yes. There were, and so this has changed a little bit on that end.
We
kept the overall number, but the design itself has changed some since.
Yes, for sure. Yeah. In that particular, that loop where you're talking, it's one of the exhibits that I have here in my presentation, just to show you the side by side. We don't usually, I'll just submit what I would normally present in a PowerPoint presentation to you, so we can flip through it that way.
Well, no, it's okay. I mean, I was looking at this and I thought it looked very familiar, and then I noticed that there was like what you're calling an eyebrow. There's basically, there was a crescent-shaped road up in that south end, And I remember they were really smaller lots, but they don't appear to be smaller lots now.
No.
So there's been no consideration given for that.
No. Nope.
Okay.
No, we spread around a little bit, and we're not proposing those smaller. It was going to be a little nook of senior, if I recall it correctly, in there, but we've moved away from that. Mm-hmm. Just did a straight single family residential, clusters on our plan.
Okay. Well, my next question is, I'm not an engineer, nor am I an architect, so I don't do a lot of these design things. I just get to look at them, and I very much enjoy them, but some of the notes that are on here I may just misinterpret, so I wanted to make sure I'm getting the right understanding here. There's a note on that road A, which is in the south end, that says begin road something, and the line for it is way up in. So I guess my question is this is now two parcels, two subdivisions, but you're sharing roads.
Yes,
so these roads are not necessarily all going to go in before building because you have two different parcels. Is it arranged so that the roads will allow access and all ahead of time? I mean, are you proposing that these would all be built as if it was one development? Because I don't see hammerheads in either of your roads, nor do I see them in the other one.
Yes, that's a very good question. Anticipation is actually that the one that's second on your agenda would be constructed first, and that would construct the entrance to this one to go all the way through from Gansburg to Bluebird Road. And then, and the reason that particular roadway that you're talking about needs in there, that's the primary stormwater for where these roads lead to. And so it would be constructed for that. So, but to your point, these have to be set up so that they could be constructed. Either one could be constructed. So if hammerheads are needed, then that's how they would be set up, if not built at the same time.
So how do we move forward with this? They're being proposed as two separates. There's no hammerheads proposed. Honestly, I don't want you designing and building hammerheads and then taking them back out when both are done, but we are forced to look at this as two completely separate subdivisions. Aside from giving approval based on both starting at the same time and working together,
I think that probably what we do is we would condition, and if this is impossible, that's something we have to talk through. But if we don't show the hammerhead, which I agree with you, that's not really the long term objective here. But the goal is to do the arrowhead meadows first, which would provide that underlying road network that this one connects it. So if it's possible to contingent that make construction of this one contingent on that road network, or it has to put in the roads regardless. I think that's the direction to head to avoid the multiple hammerheads.
Yeah, because if you do the arrowhead one first, you still only have to, or you only have that one hammerhead at that point. That would be on the far south end, but you
right.
still. So I guess in my position, in lieu of having those hammerheads shown, it would almost have to be some type of a contingency or stipulation on the approval that they either have to be done together, all the roads have to go in at one time, or hammerheads have to be provided at, right? I mean, that...
Okay. Yeah, and I think that regardless, the objective is that arrowhead would go first. And maybe what we do is no matter what, that connection between Gansburg and Bluebird Road goes in.
Okay.
But I'll get with legal counsel on that to understand the idea was cross easements between the two to make your function make it work. But.
Okay, right.
I have the same basic comment as I did with the previous one. I get technically why this has to come in as two subdivisions, but, you know, again, why can't this be viewed as one subdivision here with two phases? And because it's just going to make all this review awkward and cumbersome, and it would be better just to look at this as one project on two lots.
Yeah, and I think, you know, maybe as we look at this with the final board, we can look, you know, we can look at the overall to make it, you know, to look at that comprehensive plan. I can submit that as kind of a standalone, separate drawing, but at this point, these are two separate properties, and they are in two different LLCs. So they will be two separate applications, but I understand that, you know, they you know, you'll look at them comprehensively, and we can submit an overall plan that reflects any changes that we made as we go.
Any plans to hook into the sewer system on the Bluebird Road?
I didn't understand that it was coming up Bluebird Road. Mind you, that something was changed since.
He didn't understand that it was coming up Bluebird Road. Is it coming up?
I believe so. Yeah, they gotta get rid of it somehow. Come up Bluebird Road. I believe. But I don't know if there's any thought you put this over in.
Yeah, at this point we've been 10 years or so wondering what was going to happen, and we aren't in the sewer district, and we're just going to move it forward as is.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I think the other thing that, I don't know, I think this design lends itself to is some sort of a, you know, there is potential here for an interconnecting pedestrian pathway, you know, through the common area, you know, and in many instances to the backs of these houses, that it would be a, you know, an interesting, that might be have a lot of utility to the residents of this subdivision to get around and neighbor to neighbor. I think there's a lot of potential here for that.
Yeah, it's something we can look at, and something we did look at previously. It's just, you know, on a kind of site like this where it's self-contained and you know, we don't have any cut-through, there's no through access, and the traffic on the street is pretty minimal for activities, you know, walking, pedestrian access, what have you, on the street itself, the room parking on the street.
But I do think on the common area land here, the way you have it laid out, there's a lot of opportunity here for a, even if it's an internal pathway to the residents of these two communities, you know, it could be a nice walking loop here.
Yeah, it's something that, you know, it certainly wouldn't be prevented, but it's not something, you know, as far as if the HOA wanted to, if the combined HOA wanted to put that together, but it's not something that we're promoting at this time.
Travis, this is Dan. You're proposing the Arrowhead development first. Will you be providing for an entrance way on both Bluebird and Route 32?
Yeah, that's right. The thought is that the Arrowhead project, which we'll see next, will construct that both entrances and connect through. That's right.
And you'll have two separate HOAs based on, I guess, the demarcation
of
land, the tax
plan? Yeah, so that's a very good question. And I think that we'll look to combine the HOA, that quite frankly hadn't considered that before we started talking about it tonight, but it's something that I've seen before with different projects where they'd be combined into a single HOA, which I think would be appropriate here.
Hey, Travis, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I guess if you phase this too, you're going to have a number of dead end streets.
So the idea would be I'm not sure if you've got the one, I think sheet 2 of that SRH application has the overall So if you pull the access through from Ganford to Bluebird Road, that connects through, and then if you come down south from Bluebird to the first intersection, there would be no initial stub there, right? And so you would keep going past that all the way down to where the stormwater management area is, and you'd have a hammerhead there until the next phase were constructed.
Okay.
Until the next project was constructed. So it'd be a single hammerhead down at the stormwater basin.
But I think it would be good in your next plan set then to have a phasing plan.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's something that I've got in the presentation. If this isn't good, you know, it's not part of our sheet package, but I'll include it in the next email.
And I'd like to echo concerns that Jim and John mentioned relative to things like sidewalks and trails. You know, the extent we can make this more pedestrian friendly and interconnected with some of the other neighborhoods, it would be a great asset.
I agree.
Just to piggyback on there, if there's a way to tie this in with some road development and get back that south east to the park, that would be, it'll be outstanding because it's right there.
Yeah, and the homeowner's land allows for that access here, but we don't have control over how the Serums develop their site.
So, Travis, obviously the lot lines for the building lots are already closed up on that corner towards the park, but you could allow them to walk, you know, to have a path that goes where the stormwater management area is. Is that possible?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, there's certainly an opportunity to extend out into that homeowner's land in a number of different locations. Yeah.
I mean, the Serum,
there could be others. Yeah.
The Serum representative tonight seemed to be understanding of access issues, and maybe we can work a deal on their approval that includes them allowing access from that corner to the park, so that.
I think that'd be a huge benefit to this.
I speak with them about it. I certainly wouldn't want it to suggest anything on their behalf. So I'll ask them about it.
And we have to also talk to parks about providing an access in that corner also.
Yeah.
So John, if I'm following you right then, you're talking about the kind of the corner where you need to point back.
But you already have your building lots all lined out there, so it'd be hard to access it from the road directly from that corner, but I thought maybe if you could come in through the stormwater management area.
Yeah.
Not this neighborhood, not to park the over road, not having to go out on the 32.
Well, and there is room there behind lots 15 and 16, and then you can see that common area extends onto the Arrowhead Meadows land. There is room for a pathway there. There's plenty of room.
There's room. We just don't have direct access to the park, so it relies on someone else's structure to get there.
I think we can help you with that, Charles.
Yeah.
And Jerry, you're okay with it being walking access, right? I mean, you're not talking about a driving access to the park, right?
Oh, I'm thinking like a footpath, bike path.
Yeah, that's what I would. Yeah, okay. I want to be clear on that. Okay.
Yeah, I don't think you want to talk about connectivity there, driving connectivity, or just making sure.
No, because then you'll have people shortcutting from. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
No, not. This is only pedestrian, not vehicular.
Right, just a dirt trail would be fine.
Yeah, just a,
bicycle.
Stone dust or wood chip trail, I don't know. But
something you can walk on right away.
Yep.
Off your dog. You can even put a fire hydrant out there, Travis. You know?
I gotta think a walking path like that would be a benefit to both neighborhoods, because I know where I live.
Absolutely.
for this development?
You know, it's 1,500 to 2,200 or so square feet. We're working with the Michaels group who are developing the Winterberry project down the road. Right. Liquid actually put it on tonight, but they came to this children's hospital for some reason, so it could be very sensitive. Apologies.
It's understandable. And is that on both? You know, I know we're not supposed to, we're looking at these two others, but that's the general idea for both.
It is the general idea for both.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Hey, Jim.
Yeah.
Or the board, this is one project, so I think there's no other reason why financials, but seeker-wise, traffic, HOA, it's one project. And then we need to weigh in, but I think we're setting ourselves up for bad pressing by value to different property owners, not customers that hold segregation.
So you're suggesting that even though there's two different property owners, that it should be folded in together as far as subdivision development goes?
Yeah, we're talking roads, talking HOA. There's no compelling reason that I find the division too much.
And this is Dan. I agree with Meredith.
Yeah. I mean, we can look at the cumulative impact for secret. That's fine, but it is two different entities that completely different ownership, unconnected ownership that own two parcels. So. I know it's a little bit awkward compared to, since where we've been, but I'm going to look at that now.
The problem is that it is one plan with interconnected roads and...
Understood. We've been through this before with Cedar with the same number of lots, and,
Travis, I don't think anybody's suggesting that there's pitfalls ahead here with impacts and things.
Yeah.
But I do think procedurally, I agree that the board is at some exposure here for splitting up this environmental assessment. It really has to be, in my opinion, has to be assessed as one project.
Yeah, this gets into a secret question that's above my pay grade. I'm not sure how. With two different entities, how we deal with it, but I'll find out and we'll take care of it.
I just don't want to have any, procedural problem here, because that's where you can run into problems if you do things outside of procedure. And I certainly don't want to have a review here that's viewed as segmented.
It has to be reviewed all in one as far as secret is concerned.
Travis, it seems you've made submissions to New York DEC, and you also made submissions to Department of Health and the DOT.
What was that in? I'm sorry. So we haven't made any, so other than we've done our environmental studies, but otherwise we haven't made submissions yet. We wouldn't make those formal submissions until after your review.
And we typically
what about
do.
The state?
Go ahead.
What about the state DOT?
So again, we haven't made that submission yet. They'll see this as part of a secret coordinated review, but as far as a detail of the curb cut, they wouldn't see it until a little bit further along in the process.
Jim, has the county seen these plans yet?
I don't believe they have yet, but we'll be making that referral off on the next submission.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't see anything in the file yet where Kathy's done the referral.
Board, anything further for this applicant?
more quick one. Travis, this is going to be on public water. Yes, sir. Okay.
Yep.
I'm assuming that's also interconnected.
That's right.
The two subdivisions.
Yeah, everything moves through. That's correct. Yep.
Merry Christmas, Travis.
What was that? I'm sorry.
That was Mike Shaver.
Merry Christmas.
You know, I think tonight's meeting was the perfect coda to 2020.
You ain't kidding. You ain't kidding.
So just to clarify,
yeah.
Travis, I'm going to throw you a really easy one just for fun.
Sure.
This proposal that we're looking at right now, just the app that we're looking at, has two different roads. One's listed as Road A and Road C. Am I missing Road B?
Well, it's got to be D if there's an A and C.
Right? How do I see it?
Now, I had that same question.
What do you mean? Still,
eventually, we're going to have like more creative names than A or B.
That's B for the mailman.
So that leads me to my next question. I don't see any citing for like locations for mailbox things or
us
pickup route. So I'm assuming they would be at the entrance on 32. So maybe they're on the other project. Is it?
I think you have to get those sites. You have to get those sites pre-approved with the postmaster.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. But I mean, I guess my assumption would be that there would be one for the whole thing.
That's right.
Okay.
Now we have to put
down what media is there right now. If we can achieve Street in this thing, God knows we're Springsteen fans yet.
Yeah. Oh, we're not.
Okay. Turnbell is fair play. Do you have any further questions for us?
No, I don't think so. I think we've got to get secret clarified before we can really do much more in terms of the coordinates to be gone.
Do you have your homework cut out for you?
Yeah, and you're also going to need clarification on that joint traffic study, correct? For both this and Jacoby Acres?
Sorry, what decision?
The idea of a joint traffic study between these two subdivisions and this Jacoby Acres.
That's correct.
Okay.
I'll see what we can.
Travis, do you see any difficulty in the two owners of these two subdivisions working together as far as, with Seeker or as far as the road designs with or road applications and that kind of thing? I mean, is these projects expected to move side by side?
Okay. We've owned these for 10 years now, and they sat not moving forever. And I know now, 6 months ago, where things are at now with the demand in the market, maybe still be looking at one project as a whole, but the decision was made to split it and move forward separately to have options, again, that's where we are now.
Okay.
So you want us, when you submit next time, are you going to be formally submitting your stormwater plan?
I thought I formally submitted the stormwater plan this time.
Okay, you did. I have it here, but, well, my reason is a $2,500 fee for the review charge, so I can initiate that as soon as, if you want me to go with what I have, then I just need the $2,500 fee for the review to begin.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, let me ask a question. I mean, I've heard, we've got to get Seeker solved, and I've heard some other relatively minor comments and suggestions. suggestions, but I'm not hearing any major concerns with the layout or things that would
no,
impact that form. Unless I'm misunderstanding, I don't have a problem moving that forward and getting the reduced there.
You've probably done your calculations, right? If it was one project?
No, I'm sorry. We submitted an updated, complete stormwater package for each of these two projects that complied with the latest stormwater regulation. So it would have been done 10 years ago. The green infrastructure requirements have changed since then.
See, now here's a place where you can save some money. If you're telling me this is one stormwater plan, it's $2,500. If it's two, it's $5,000.
Well, two different applicants, though. Gary has two different stormwater plans, so that's, you know.
I don't think so.
Because there is a chance that one moves and one doesn't, so I think it's got to be, I don't know.
Isn't the stormwater pond for both subdivisions on one of them? Right?
Certainly, the majority of the stormwater is on the project.
Yeah, I only see one small pond in Arrowhead Meadows, and the two major ones are in this SRA. Yeah.
Right. However you want to say it, whatever makes the most sense as far as the reviewing.
Yeah, from the review standpoint, I think it should be reviewed as one plan, and it's a $2,500 charge. Because as a practical matter, it's going to operate as one system.
That's fine. However is the most efficient one to review.
I think it would be most efficient as one. That is, that's the correct way to do it procedurally.
This is, once again, a complication of this splitting this thing up. Are we handling the stormwater from one of these parcels on another parcel?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But we don't allow that. I don't know if we have a function that allows us to have a subdivision whose stormwater is handled off-site.
Yeah, that's a question that we're discharging onto another parcel. But if we treat this as two, we're discharging.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
And at the very least, whichever one has got the stormwater infrastructure, that one has to be guaranteed to be built first. But yeah, I mean, as far as I know, we don't normally allow a subdivision to deal with the stormwater on another parcel.
Well, I'll tell you what, Travis, why didn't you give me the $2,500 fee, and we're going to review this as one plan and see how all this also shakes out from the stormwater point of view, all these points that are being made.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll get that to you, Jim, so I do think it'd be worthwhile to get that review started. The logistics may change, the layout's not going to change.
Correct.
And the comments are going to be the same. So, and it will take them some time to review it, so we should get that started.
And this is, I guess the other problem is that you've got two subdivisions, and both subdivisions are going to rely on a roadway entrance on the other subdivision's property to meet the two entrance way requirement.
Yes, I mean, eventually they're all dedicated to, kind of dedicated progress.
Well, we can solve all those the issues that seem to have been brought up in the last few minutes. I mean, I personally don't have any. I don't see anything about the development that strikes to me as being out of character with the area.
No, I think the layout is fine. It's just this awkwardness of joining the two together.
Right, Travis, I think, was asking if there was anything else that we were seeing that was
risk pigeons.
No, yeah, and I appreciate that. And we'll try and sort through some of these details and make sure that the board is comfortable with it. Certainly, we don't want to set any type of precedent that you're not comfortable with. But I think we can work through it.
And for that, I will take a motion.
Good morning. Do it, sir.
I'll second.
Okay. Second by Mike. Motion's been made and seconded. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Abstention.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Have a great holiday. Be safe.
Yep.
See you, Travis.
Merry Christmas.
Thanks for all of the night.
Oh. Well, 5 o'clock comes early. We're good.